ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय खाते का सुनिब प्रभु थोमारा निंदाना ना परी सहिते एबे शादी बाजीवाना
How long can we tolerate the blasphemy of your critics against your conduct? We should give up our lives rather than hear such blasphemy.
Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
One of the most important instructions by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regarding regular Vaishnav behavior is that a Vaishnav should be tolerant like a tree and submissive like grass.
Trinarapi sunichena taror ivashi hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari.
One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree devoid of all sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Nevertheless, the author of these instructions, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, did not tolerate the misbehavior of Jagai and Madhai. When they harmed Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he immediately became angry and wanted to kill them. And it was only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu that they were saved. One should be very meek and humble in his personal transaction. And if insulted, a Vaishnav should be tolerant and not angry. But if there is blasphemy against one's guru, or another Vaishnava, one should be as angry as fire. This was exhibited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One should not tolerate blasphemy against a Vaishnava and should immediately take one of three actions. If someone blasphemes a Vaishnava, one should stop him with arguments and higher reason. If one is not expert enough to do this, he should give up his life on the spot. And if he cannot do this, he must go away. While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Benares or Kashi, the Mayavadi sannyasis blasphemed him in many ways, because although he was a sannyasi, he was indulging in chanting and dancing. Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar heard these criticisms, and it was intolerable for them, because they were great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. They could not stop it. However, and therefore they appealed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because this blasphemy was so intolerable that they had decided to give up their lives. Today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 7, Text Number 15. This chapter is entitled Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. Srila Prabhupada considered this section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita so important for our spiritual cultivation that he chose that this particular chapter be the first publication of this great work. In it explains
the Panchatattva, their purpose of descending into this world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the full manifestation of Krishna himself, performing the magnanimous lila of spreading Krishna consciousness freely in this age of Kali, manifested himself as for five features. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vash. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains how when Krishna was present in this earth, he brought with him the great storehouse of pure love of God. However, he kept it sealed. But the Panchatattva comes to break open that seal, to plunder the contents of that treasure of love of God, to taste it, expand it, and spread it everywhere. The Panchatattva came to inundate the world with the flood of love of God, not considering who is fit or who is not fit, making this great treasure of Krishna consciousness available for everyone, the old, the young, men, women, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, even the Malechas, the Yavanas, the Untouchables, everyone had free access to the treasure of love of God. By breaking this seal and plundering the contents, there was such a deluge of love of God that was coming by their mercy that it is explained that it is flooding the entire world and destroying the seeds of material desires in anyone who comes in contact with this flood. Srila Prabhupada explains when there are seeds in a field, when there is a great inundating flood, then those seeds become inactive. They have no capacity. In the same way, by experiencing the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, material desires become destroyed within our hearts. Srila Prabhupada also gives the example that the Panchatattva appeared in Sri Mayapur Navadvipa. And from time to time, there is a very, very great flood in Sri Mayapur. And this represents how the flood of God will come from Mayapur and spread throughout the entire world. Srila Prabhupada, he was that special personality that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered to perform this service. However, although Lord Chaitanya and his associates were giving pure love of Krishna to everyone and anyone without discrimination, Lord Chaitanya did not want anyone to escape the network of his mercy. We see how he converted so many people to the path of pure devotional service. However, there were people who were very puffed up. Magicians, scholars, and especially the Mayavadi sannyasis. They somehow or other escaped the transcendental flood of his causeless mercy. So pondering upon how to somehow or other deliver even this class of people, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to accept the renounced order of life. Srila Prabhupada explains he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no reason for him to take sannyas. Generally, the sannyas order is for people to detach themselves from all material connections and completely surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. But he is the Supreme Personality of God. And he, Tribir Gunamayar Bhavayar, the three modes of material nature, cannot touch him. He has no material aspirations. So why? Why did the Lord take sannyas? And in doing so, he brought so much heartbreak to people who loved him. Srila Prabhupada explains that Vishnupriya was such a young girl, between 14 and 16 years old. She lived only for him. She had no children. And Sachimata was a widow who simply survived only for Nimai. And so many friends in the house of Srivas, beautiful kirtans that will go on throughout the night. And he was the most popular, wonderful person in all of Navadvip. When the Chandkazi broke the Murdanga and stopped the Sankirtan of the holy names, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his opulence of fame. He called the devotees. In fact, he told the devotees to spread the word throughout all of Nadia that he was personally going to dance in Sankirtan in the streets of Navadvip. Previous to this, he only performed kirtan and danced in the locked doors of Srivas's house, where no ordinary people were allowed to see him. The blasphemers and the atheists, they simply criticized. Why are they locking doors? Why are they not letting us in? We know, because they're performing tantric sinful acts. During the day, they seduce young women. Then at night they drag them into the house and they feed them all kinds of mystical intoxications, and then they enjoy them in illicit ways. And they're all so totally intoxicated. Listen to them. They're just screaming like crazy people. Abominable. And the pious people, they were thinking, why you blasphemers are saying all these things? Because of your blasphemies, we will never get to see the beautiful dancing of Sri Chaitanya. Of Nimai. If we once see his dancing, we will be delivered. It must be due to many, many previous sins and so many births that we are not allowed to see his dancing. If only that one day will come when we will see his dancing. Then the blasphemers would hear the pious people say this, and they would say, "You're one of them! They're one of them! Get them! Get them!" So it was a very difficult situation. On that day, Lord Gauranga, he pronounced that he would be dancing to the streets of Navadvip. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat give graphic description of this. Literally, millions and millions of people came. There were so many millions of people that came for that kirtan, each holding torches. Even the demigods in the heavens descended to disguise themselves as human beings so they could participate in that kirtan. Everyone's eyes and hearts were fixed on the beautiful form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when that assembly, ultimately there were hundreds of millions of people in that kirtan. Where did they all come from? Inconceivable miracle. They were coming from all over the universe. Who is more popular than that? So the Lord had everything when he was in Navadvip. And the Chandkazi surrendered to the Lord, became a devotee, and declared that from this day on, in my district of Nadia, as long as my descendants rule, the Harinam Sankirtan movement will never be disturbed, but will be fully encouraged. Why? Why would he want to leave such a wonderful environment to become a sannyasi? Out of his causeless mercy. for those who blasphemed him, for those who criticized him, as a loving father, he wanted to give them love of God. After taking sannyas and leaving Navadvip, just at the end of the 24th year of his lila on this earth, the people of Mayapur, Navadvip, were plunged in an ocean of sorrow and separation. And actually his strategy worked nicely. That even those puffed up Brahmin logicians and scholars that hated him, even those people who criticized him in so many ways, worshippers of demigods, they all felt separation for him when he left. And after he took sannyas, they realized that he's actually a great soul, and their hearts changed. On his way, in his first attempt to Vrindavan, he stopped in Kulia, one of the nine islands of Sri Navadvipam, Koladvip. And there, all these offenders and blasphemers and proud scholars came and surrendered to him, accepting pure devotional service by his mercy. In Jagannath Puri, the greatest of all logicians, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he surrendered to him and accepted his mercy. There was only one class of people left. When he was in South India, he converted so many varieties of people. But the Mayavadi sannyasis, very, very difficult for them. Because the very basis of their philosophical conception is so offensive to Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes what is a Mayavadi. That Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the highest revelation of the absolute truth. He can only be approached through pure unalloyed devotional service. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadiran Govinda Sarva Karana. Lord Krishna's body is not material. It is pure spiritual. It is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. He is the cause of all causes. He is the source of everything. His pastimes, his names, his words, the service rendered to him, his paraphernalia, his associates, they are all of the same divine, eternal, spiritual substance. In the spiritual world, beyond this material realm, is the Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual sky. Within Brahma Jyoti are unlimited spiritual planets in which the Lord is eternally residing in each of these planets, performing his pastimes with eternal associates forever. And the highest of all the spiritual planets, in the sense of the deepest, most ecstatic reciprocations of love, is Krishna Loka, where the Supreme Lord Shyam Sundar and Sri Radharani are engaging all the living entities in that divine world in the highest levels of spiritual love. The Lord descends to this world in his original spiritual form. Once in the day of Brahma, he comes as Lord Krishna. But in so many other ways, so many avatars appear in this world. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yogiti tatvata yakva deham punara janma naiti mameti sukhina. And one who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities in this world never takes birth again in the material world, but returns to the spiritual world. The Lord descends to reveal his form, to reveal his pastimes, out of his causeless mercy, to invite everyone to come back home, back to Godhead.
Avajananti mam mudha manusintanam ashrita param bhavam ajananto mamabhutameshwara.
But the fools, the rascals, they deride Krishna. They take him to be an ordinary human being. They do not know his transcendental nature and his supreme dominion over all that be. The Mayavadi conception is that
Brahma Satyam Jagannitya,
that this whole material creation is an illusion. Only Brahman is truth.
And they consider that anything that has form, personality, variety, or any type of features, that is a product of Maya.
Therefore, the supreme, absolute, impersonal, all-pervading Brahman, out of mercy, enters into this material cosmic manifestation and takes a form in the material mode of goodness and teaches people to live in the mode of goodness.
And his name is in the mode of goodness.
And by worshipping these forms, we can gradually come to the mode of goodness, purify our hearts, and then ultimately by surrendering to the absolute truth, we realize that we're not this body. We all realize that we're eternal. Aham Brahmasmi. And upon that realization, we also realize that the form of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the associates of the Lord, the abode of the Lord, they're all Maya.
The conception is something like if you have a thorn in your foot, you take another thorn to take the original thorn out.
So now we're under the influence of the modes of material nature. So we're taking another aspect of the modes of material nature to free ourselves from the modes of material nature.
Hare Krishna.
But the problem is, according to the great Vaishnava Acharyas, the thorn that they're trying to take out, that gets stuck in, and that's worse than the original thorn.
Prabodhananda Saraswati said, I would rather be in hell than this Mayavad conception of Kaivalya or Brahman.
Why? Because there I could remember Krishna, chant his names, and do some seva.
But in the Brahman conception, there's no identity. Our identity, our individuality is covered. It is forgotten temporarily.
So because they consider that Krishna, all the incarnations, the process of bhakti, the names of the Lord are all Maya, they are called Mayavadis. They do not understand. They do not understand that beyond this material existence is a spiritual world, where there is spiritual form, spiritual personality, spiritual desire. They do not know the proper utilization of this material cosmos. They just want to reject everything as illusion. But the bodhis understand that if the Madhya Sayata, everything is emanating from the absolute truth.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachya.
The Lord is perfect and complete. All emanations of Him are perfect and complete. So if Krishna is truth, then all of His energies must also be truth.
There are three principal energies, Antaranga, Bahiranga, and Tathashta Shaktis.
The superior energy, the spiritual world, where everything is Satchidananda, everything is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, everything is all conscious. Nothing exists that is not consciously in a purified state of loving Krishna and completely surrendering its very existence to the service and for the pleasure of Krishna. That is the spiritual world. There is no matter.
Sandini, Samvit, Adini. The Lord's energy is inconceivable.
Everything in the spiritual world is simply working in harmony. Everyone. For the pleasure of Radha and Krishna.
And then there is this external energy, or the inferior energy of material existence. It is real. It has to be real. It is truth, because it's coming from the absolute truth. Darkness doesn't come out of light. Even the scientists, they declare that you cannot destroy matter. You can only transform it. So this material existence, because everything's particular appearance is temporary. It is not an illusion, it's illusory. But when we mistake it for what it is not, that is illusion. Maya means that which is not. The example is given, if you mistake a snake for a rope, that is an illusion. The fact is, snakes are real, and the rope is also real. But that you think that the snake, that the rope is a snake, that is an illusion. So this body is real. But to think you're this body is an illusion. So therefore, the conception we have, how we are perceiving reality, is what depends, is what determines whether we are seeing the truth or seeing illusion. Srila Prabhupada entitled his Bhagavad Gita, As It Is, to see everything as it is. That this whole cosmic manifestation is Krishna's energy meant to be utilized for Krishna's service. What is the illusion? When we think that we are this body and that the objects of the senses are for our enjoyment. And due to that illusion, we come under the control of the three modes of material nature, which is being activated by time, and thus we become under the inflictions of the threefold miseries, adiatmaka, adidaivaka, adibhautika. We suffer birth after birth after birth. The laws of action and reaction, or karma, are upon everyone under this illusion. Whatever we do, there is an equal corresponding reaction. We perform pious deeds, we have to take another birth to get the good results of those pious deeds. We perform sinful deeds, we have to take another birth to suffer the reactions of those sinful activities. But if we surrender to Krishna, then he personally delivers us from all sinful reactions. And we come to him. If we remember Krishna at the time of death, we will return to Krishna without fail. So a devotee sees the material existence simultaneously is very dangerous when we have the enjoying spirit. Because every time we try to enjoy the resources of material nature, we are further incriminating ourselves in illusion. And we're further infatuating that propensity for enjoyment within our heart. But when we see everything for the service of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, then we are seeing as it is. And through that process, we become liberated. Prabhupada would give example. He is speaking in microphone. Is this microphone material or spiritual? It's perception. It's God's energy. It's spiritual. If we use it for in forgetfulness of its relationship with Krishna, then our conception of it is an illusion. It's material. It's a material thing. How many people are using microphones in forgetfulness of Krishna? Such a disturbance. However, Srila Prabhupada would speak Bhagavad Dharma through microphone. He would perform Harinam Kirtan with microphone. He was spiritualizing the whole world, utilizing God's precious energy for that purpose. So the Prabhupada taught us the art of Krishnizing everything in this world by understanding its relationship with Krishna and using it in the service of Krishna. But in order to do so, we have to somehow or other refrain from using for our own personal sense gratification. That is the art of living. The art of loving is how to utilize everything for Krishna's pleasure. But in order to do so, we must understand, who is Krishna? What is Krishna Tattva? What is Bhakti Tattva? How to utilize everything for Krishna? My body, my mind, my words, my life. So because the Mayavadis, they say that Krishna is an illusion, his name is an illusion, his pastimes are an illusion, they are offending Krishna. And devotees cannot tolerate this. There are so many examples. That one nice writer, he approached Bhagavad Acharya in Puri, and he wrote some nice, he came from Varanasi, of course, and he wrote some very nice poetic descriptions. And he wanted to show it to Lord Chaitanya. But Swarup Damodar Goswami knew that Lord Chaitanya could not tolerate hearing anything that was adverse to pure devotional service. It just hurt his heart. So Swarup Damodar Goswami would scream. And he heard this. And everybody else thought it was a beautiful poem. But Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "You're going to hell for this offense. You're nonsense." It's quite shocking. He said that this type of impersonal conception, this Mayavad, it causes such deep pain to the heart of a Vaishnava. He cannot tolerate it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his way to Vrindavan, came to Kashi. Varanasi. It's named Varanasi because there's two rivers that have a confluence there, yes? The Vara and the Nasi rivers. So it is called Varanasi. And it is called Kashi because at one time, actually always, it is the kingdom of Lord Shiva. Shiva Prabhupada explains in Manikanika Ghat, if a person dies at that ghat, Lord Shiva personally sings the name of Ram in his ear at the time of death. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and he bathed in the Manikanika Ghat, and then he went to the Bindu Madhava temple, and for 2 months he instructed Srila Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Shiksha, which is elaborately described in the Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charita. During that time, he was staying in the house of Chandrasekhar. Now, this was controversial as far as the Mayavadi sannyasis were concerned, because Chandrasekhar was considered by them to be a Shudra. He was Kayasta. He was like a clerk. Although he was a pure Vaishnava, they were seeing in terms of the material caste. And he would take his... But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy at the house of Chandrasekhar because he was a Vaishnava. Devotees do not see according to material designations. They see according to the heart. A person is classified by the degree they have awakened their love of Krishna, by the qualities that they manifest in their lives. Srila Prabhupada would say, a fool remains undetected until he opens his mouth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to Ramananda Rai, Kiba Bipa Kriba Nyasi Sudra Kibi Nai, Jai Krishna Tattva Beta Se Guru Hoi. Whether one is a Sudra, Sannyasi, it doesn't matter any of these material designations. If one knows Krishna Tattva, if one speaks Harikatha properly, he can be Guru. And Lord Chaitanya would take his meals at the house of Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra he met in Bangladesh. And after revealing his divine opulences to Tapan Mishra, he ordered him to go to Varanasi. Very difficult. He was Nimai Pandit then. Tapan Mishra is the first person on record that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually instructed him to that pure love of God is the ultimate perfection of life, and the easiest and best method is to chant the 16th word, 32 syllable mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. She said, is the Maha Mantra. No hard and fast rules. Just chant this mantra and you will get love of God. That is the ultimate perfection of life. Tapan Mishra said, you're just about to leave for Navadvipa to establish the Sankirtan movement. I want to go with you. I want to help you. He was so excited. He just realized that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Lord of his life. The aspiration he was longing for his whole life long. Finally, he has attained Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. I want to go with you. And what did Lord Chaitanya tell him? Go to Kashi. Navadvipa, he was about to establish Harinam Sankirtan with Advaita, with Nityananda, with Gadadhar, with Haridas Thakur, with all these great devotees. And he's sending him to Varanasi. There was no devotees. It was the capital of Mayavad. It was ruled by Prakashananda Saraswati, who had 60,000 sannyasis preaching there that Krishna is an illusion, that everything's Maya, and that the Vaishnavas are just sentimental fools. Hare Krishna. So he was a surrendered soul. He went to Varanasi. Suffered there. And then Lord Chaitanya came. And Lord Chaitanya would not mix with the other sannyasis. He would just stay with these two grihasthas, Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya. Tapan Mishra happened to be the father of Raghunath Bhat Goswami, who was personally massaging Lord Chaitanya and singing sweet Bhagavatam verses to him when he was a small boy. The Lord would not associate with the other sannyasis. He would just be dancing and singing in the streets of Varanasi. He would go to Kashi Vishwanath Temple, and he would dance and chant there. God, did that ever upset the sannyasis? They were fuming with the disgraceful conduct of this Mayavadi sannyasi. He's supposed to be one of them. So they were always blaspheming. They would say that this Chaitanya, he may be popular amongst all these foolish, low-class sentimentalists, these women and these children, these ignorant men, but now he's come to Kashi, no one will take him serious here. This is a place of knowledge, it is the place of Vedanta. He's simply a sentimentalist. He dances and sings like a sentimentalist. This is no activity for a sannyasi. The Mayavadis are utterly against chanting and dancing. They consider that their duty is to perform tapasya and to sit amongst other Mayavadi sannyasis and scrutinizingly analyze the teachings of Sripad Shankaracharya in his commentaries of the Vedanta Sutra. Neti, neti, neti. And through this very, very deep, profound investigation of this jnana or analytical knowledge, they will be able to discriminate between what is illusion and what is truth. And they will never give in to any of the illusions because they have intellectual capacity to be able to understand what it is and what its reaction will be. In this way, Lord Chaitanya never even looked in their direction. And this really offended them. He won't even come to see us. He's just with all the women and children and all these ignorant men just dancing around and singing. He's a fool. Shankar and Tapanishu would be hearing this all the time, all around them. And the innocent people, they would be influenced by what their leaders were saying. So here they are approaching Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they're suffering so much to the point where they have decided to give up their lives. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that a Vaishnava is Trinadapi Sunichi. Taro Ivasa Hishnu. Amanana Manadena Kirtaniya Siddhanta. This is the most glorious principle of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Because it is the means by which we could constantly chant the holy names, which is the only means of realizing Krishna in his full-fledged reality in this age of Kali. To be more humble than the straw in the street. Be tolerant like a tree. Ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this way we could constantly chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains here in the purport that for a devotee, when he is personally attacked or insulted, the devotee should be humble like a straw in the street, should be tolerant like a tree. But when the spiritual master, the supreme personality of Godhead, or other Vaishnavas are blasphemed, the devotee is not to tolerate that. He becomes like fire. Srila Prabhupada in this purport explains there are three ways to react to Vaishnava aparad, Guru aparad, or aparad to Krishna. One is through strong logic and reason to defeat that person. That's the best thing. If you cannot do that, it's better to give up your life than to contaminate your soul, contaminate your consciousness by hearing it. But that's not recommended in the age of Kali. So the third alternative, if you can't defeat them and substantiate the truth through good logic, then you should go away. You should not sit and hear it. We do not understand the imperceptible effects that take place when Vaishnava aparad enters into our consciousness. Sometimes we hear people just blaspheming and accusing and saying nonsense things about Vaishnavas. And then we go away and the next morning we chant our 16 rounds and we think, I made it. I survived. Somehow or other I'm still chanting. I still believe in Krishna, even though I heard. But it will take effect. It's just like a disease. If you get the disease of AIDS or hepatitis C or one of these contagious diseases in your system, it's not that the next day you're laying in a hospital bed. It may take months, it may take years, but it will have its effect. Devastating effect. So one should be very, very, very cautious not to hear the offenses against the Lord or his devotees. It's a matter of spiritual life or death. It's not just a matter of some conventional ritualistic observance. Therefore, throughout our Vaishnava scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavatam, there is many, many instances to illustrate how deadly Vaishnava aparad is. Whether we commit it, there's two ways of committing it. Either by speaking it or acting, or by opening our hearts and our ears to hear it. Either way, we are committing Vaishnava aparad. There is that one Brahmin who approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kuliyagram. He said, with this mouth, after he took sannyas, Lord Chaitanya realized, after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, the Brahman realized that I've just completely ruined my life with Vaishnava Parada. He approached Lord Chaitanya from a little distance because he was so ashamed. He said, with my mouth I blasphemed you and I blasphemed your devotees and I blasphemed your Harinam Sankirtan movement. Again and again and again. But now I understand who you really are. How remedy against this disease that I have created? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, to blaspheme a Vaishnava or Krishna is like drinking poison with your mouth. It's a fact that Vaishnava aparad is poison. It's just right in our mouth. You are drinking poison. And poison will cause your spiritual death. However, there is an antidote for poison, nectar. If with the same mouth that you offended Vaishnavas, if you use your mouth to glorify Krishna and glorify the Vaishnavas, chant the holy names, that will neutralize the poison and will actually bring about revival of your original Krishna consciousness. So go! Go and always glorify Krishna, Krishna's name and Krishna's devotees. It's the only solution. Of course, Vaishnava aparad is such a thing. It's born of false ego. And everyone thinks everyone else is making aparads except me. And we always have our justifications. Hare Krishna. And we have to be very careful, very analytical about our own behavior and our own words. We should not justify. Sometimes there's different camps. I'm justified because I'm justified. And nobody's justified. Vaishnava aparad is very dangerous. So here, Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, they're literally in so much pain hearing the criticism of the Lord that they can't live. The Lord wants them to stay in Kashi. They can't leave. That would be disobedience to the Lord's instruction. But they can't survive. So they're approaching desperately. Lord, please understand our hearts. Save us. This Prakashananda Saraswati, he would actually preach to his whole congregation of other sannyasis and students, he would preach against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because of this blasphemy, he couldn't even say the word Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when he was living in Navadvipa, in the house of Murari Gupta, when he appeared as Lord Varahadev to Murari Gupta, he said, there is a sannyasi in Varanasi named Prakashananda. And because of his blasphemies to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has leprosy, but he doesn't even know it. Hare Krishna. So, how long can we tolerate the blasphemy of your critics against your conduct? We should give up our lives rather than hear such blasphemy. The Mayavadi sannyasis are all criticizing your holiness. We cannot tolerate hearing such criticism, for this blasphemy breaks our hearts. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he responded by silently smiling. He had a plan. Just at that moment, a Maharashtrian Brahmin appeared. He was a devotee. He understood the glories of the Lord. He said to Lord Chaitanya, I know that it is your rule in life that you will never associate with these Mayavadi sannyasis. I have invited Prakashananda Saraswati and his associates to my house for prasad. I would like you to come. In order to pacify the hearts of his devotees, who were appealing for him, it was the prayers of Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar that attracted the mercy of the Lord to these wicked-minded sannyasis. When the devotees pray for the deliverance of the conditioned souls, Krishna hears those prayers. Inconceivably, Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, I will come." Haribol. He came a little late. Sometimes sannyasis do that. All the other Mayavadis, they were already assembled on a raised platform. There was Prakashananda. Can you imagine what a scholar Prakashananda Saraswati was? What charisma, what power he had? They were all sitting there. And Lord Chaitanya came. And according to the tradition of sannyasis, when they come into a house, they first wash their feet. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed his feet. And then he sat down right at the place where everyone washed their feet. But he performed a great wonder. From his body, he began to emanate the Brahman effulgence. He knew exactly how to attract the Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. So they were so much attracted by his effulgence and the beauty that was the source of his effulgence. And his humility melted their hearts. Prakashananda Saraswati himself, who was just charmed by the beautiful form of the Lord, he said, "Sripad, are you lamenting? Why are you sitting in that dirty place where everyone washes their feet? You are a sannyasi. Come and sit with us." Lord Chaitanya said that you are very great learned scholars. I am from a lower order. I have no right, I have no quality to sit amongst you. His humility melted their hearts, although their hearts were hard like steel. Prakashananda Saraswati personally came down to the foot wash place and took Lord Chaitanya by the hand and said, "Please come and sit with us," and brought him up to the top of the platform. This is called Agyata Sukriti. He didn't know it, but he offered service to the Supreme Personality of God. And that was the beginning of the end of his misconceptions. It is a very important part of preaching to conditioned souls to engage them in this process of Agyata Sukriti. Knowingly or unknowingly, if somehow or other is connected to Krishna, one begins the process of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada explains that if a person knowingly or unknowingly appreciates anything about the Krishna consciousness movement, their spiritual lives are begun. If you give them a cookie, they don't know it's Mahaprasad. If they just think, "Oh, this tastes so good," they're glorifying Krishna. If a devotee just behaves in a nice way and the person thinks, "Oh, this person is nice," Krishna's in their heart, awakening bhakti. If they like the holy name, if they see a temple and think it's beautiful, any way a person appreciates the activities of Krishna consciousness, that appreciation is the service of the heart. Krishna consciousness is established. Krishna is all attractive. Krishna conscious culture is all attractive. This is our preaching. So he brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the raised platform. And He said, you are a very beautiful person, so qualified. You took sannyas from our sampradaya, from Keshav Bharati Maharaj. In the Bharati sampradaya, you're one of us. Why don't you associate with us? Why are you with all these foolish, low-class sentimentalists chanting and dancing? This is no activity for a sannyasi. Come, study Vedanta. That's what we do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how did he preach? Prabhupada would often quote Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. The way of preaching is you put straw between your teeth and folded hands and you say, oh, you are a great scholar, you are very good, you are a very, very important person, and my request is, please, kind, my dear gentleman, forget everything you know and accept the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First you open their hearts, so they, you think I'm learned, you think I'm a gentleman, you think I'm a great soul, good, go on, and then forget everything. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached in this way. He said, my Guru Maharaj, he told me that I was a fool, that there was no way that I could understand Vedanta philosophy. It was simply a waste of time for me even to try. So rather than waste my time studying Vedanta, he told me to always chant the holy names of Krishna. That by chanting the holy names of Krishna, all knowledge, all realizations of the Absolute Truth will be revealed within the heart. He taught me this verse. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. That in this age of Kali, there's only one way, the chanting of the holy names of Hari, to attain liberation and the perfection of life. So I took the order of my spiritual master very seriously. And I began to constantly chant the holy names. But then something strange started happening, so I went back to my guru and I said, Guru Maharaj, I do not know what kind of mantra you gave me. I'm chanting. Tears are just flowing from my eyes and my hairs are standing on legs and my voice is getting choked up and my limbs are trembling. And I begin to dance like a madman. I don't know what's happening. Please tell me. What have you done to me? And my Guru Maharaj said, oh, my dear son, you have attained the perfection of life. This is very good. Quoted a verse that this is the results of chanting the holy name as one develops these ecstatic symptoms of love of God. And my Guru Maharaj told me, you spread this chanting of the holy names wherever you go. So the Mayavadis, hearing his humility, he's calling himself a fool. They're calling themselves Narayan. Om Namo Narayanaya. This is the way Mayavadi sannyasis address themselves. The idea is when you renounce the world and take sannyas, you become Narayan, the supreme absolute truth, Brahman. Narayan means the absolute truth in a body. So they become Narayan. They're calling themselves Narayan. Other people are calling them Narayan. And Lord Chaitanya is a Mayavad, he's in the Mayavad Sannyas order. But he's saying, I'm a great fool. Hare Krishna, just the opposite. When they heard him speak, they said, yeah, actually what you're saying is true, that the chanting of the holy names is very good. It is very nice that you've attained ecstatic love of God, but still, why don't you study Vedanta with us? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the true meaning of Vedanta. And there are many chapters of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describing this wonderful subject. How he explained the fallacies of Shankaracharya's interpretations. In essence, he described that Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary of the Vedanta Sutras. It was written by the author of Vedanta himself, Srila Vyasadeva. It is the direct explanation of Vedanta. But Shankaracharya, he used the technique of indirect explanation. Interpreting. Interpreting with his own mental conceptions. It's like Prabhupada gave such a simple example. Manmanabhava madbhakta madhya jivnam namaskuru mame vaishyashi satyam te prati jani priyoshane. Krishna says in Gita, always think of me. Offer your homage to me. Worship me. Bow down to me. In this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my dear friend. Well, Prabhupada had an edition of Bhagavad Gita in 1966, where in the purport, the translation's the same, but in the purport, this great scholar, famous all over the world for his scholarship of the scriptures, he says, when Krishna says, always think of me, he doesn't mean Krishna. He means the unborn, unmanifest, impersonal existence within Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita as it is, this is an indirect explanation. The direct explanation is, if Krishna says me, he means me. Who's me? Krishna. And this indirect explanation is your own word jugglery. It's your own mental speculation. Recently, I was in Jaipur. And I was staying at this one place, and they had a Bhagavad Gita by some somewhat famous guru in India. It was interesting. I looked at the headquarters of this guru, and it was in Chopati, Bombay. So I thought, I took some interest in this book at that point. Because, you know, say Eva Gocharam, he was from the same place. So I decided the easy way to understand what he's teaching is to go to this verse. That was Prabhupada's criteria. How people interpret this verse, always think of me, worship me, become my devotee. So he had a very, very creative interpretation. He didn't say, like Dr. Radha Krishna, that Krishna is not speaking about Krishna. Krishna is speaking about the unborn, unmanifest, impersonal, invisible existence within him. What this man said is, when Krishna says me, he means him, Krishna. I said, this looks interesting. So I decided to read on. He says, yes, Krishna, mom, means me. Me means Krishna. Krishna wants you to think of him. And who is Krishna? Krishna is a temporary manifestation of Brahman who is acting as guru. And guru is Krishna. You know, that Guru Krishna, Guru Deva Maheshwaram, you know, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Deva Maheshwaram. The Guru is Brahma, Guru is Vishnu, Guru is Shiva. So if you always think of your Guru, if you worship your Guru, if you offer your homage unto your Guru, you will come to your Guru without fail, because your Guru is Krishna, your Guru is Brahman, your Guru is the Absolute Truth. And of course, he was the guru. One plus one equals two. Sometimes two plus two equals four. Three plus one equals four. There's so many ways to speculate to come to four. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu convinced Prakashananda Saraswati. The direct understanding of Vedanta Sutra, revealed by Vyasadeva himself in Srimad Bhagavatam. That Krishna's body, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, they are all Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. That the ultimate goal of love, life is to love Krishna. That the Brahman is the bodily rays of Krishna that are emanating in all directions. Many are told, the followers of Prakashananda Saraswati asked, actually they said, everything you're saying is true. We cannot refute any of your explanations. But why did Shankaracharya cheat us in this way? Can you imagine? That's what they asked him. And Lord Chaitanya said, Shankaracharya is not at fault. He's Lord Shiva, Param Vaishnava. He's simply following Krishna's instructions. And he quoted from Padma Purana how Lord Shiva was instructed by Lord Vishnu to take birth as a Brahman in the age of Kali and to speak a covered form of voidism for the purpose of bringing about the promotion of irreligion in the age of Kali. Upon hearing the wonderful explanation of Lord Chaitanya and the glories of the holy names of Krishna, Prakashananda Saraswati and all of his 60,000 sannyasi followers became Vaishnavas. They accepted the Supreme Lord, the Supreme pastimes, the Supreme names, and the Supreme abode of the Lord as the ultimate goal of life. One day when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was outside having wonderful kirtan, Prakashananda Saraswati and all of his sannyasis, they began to dance in ecstasy, loudly chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Pushkar Prabhu, would you like to speak something in this regard? Huh? It indicates that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Video. Actually, the book is better than the video. It is being enacted through Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's wonderful literature. Anything else? Kalakanta Prabhu. Huh? You mean a person's blaspheming myself and other Vaishnavas? You should tolerate the part about you and not tolerate the part about the Vaishnavas. With intelligence. Well, we should be defending the Vaishnavas. We don't have to defend ourselves. We can be defending the glories of the Vaishnavas. And actually, if we're defending ourselves on behalf of the Vaishnavas, then that is also, it's a matter of our consciousness. It's not so much only what we do, but the consciousness in which we do it. It's like if somebody comes to beat your body. If you protect yourself because you just don't want to suffer pain, then you have a right to do that. Every person has a right for survival in this world. But that's a karmic activity to protect yourself. But if you're thinking in terms that this is Krishna being used in Krishna's service, just to destroy what belongs to Krishna so it can't be used in his service, and you protect it for that reason, then that's actually devotional service. That's beyond karma. Yes. Prabhupada describes Kaladesha Patra. According to time, place, and circumstance, we must evaluate what is required to best serve Krishna. In the instance that you explained of Mr. Nair in Bombay, he gave the property to Krishna, whether he knew it or not. He gave it to Prabhupada. He was willing to sell it to Prabhupada. The deed was signed with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada doesn't identify himself just as a person. He identifies himself as representative of Guru and Krishna. He has no right to just call it his property. That's what's in his mind. When he gave it to me, he gave it to Guru and Krishna. And now he wants to take it away from Krishna. Krishna wants to use this to bring the whole world to come to see his beautiful darshan and to chant his holy names. He was defending the mission of his spiritual master. He was defending the rights of millions of conditioned souls to perfect their lives and go back to Godhead. It was out of pure love and compassion that Prabhupada fought that battle. And he fought it to the end, because he had the understanding of how important this temple would be to make the world Krishna conscious. He understood that he offered it to Radharas Bihari, and Radharas Bihari's property must be defended. So yes, Prabhupada would not give up for anything. There was such incredible opposition that actually even the devotees and the devotees' lawyers, everybody, convinced them that it's impossible. You should give the deed back. You know the story. They actually gave they signed the land back to Mr. Nair. They told Prabhupada on the telephone. Just hung up on him. Sometimes not talking is more powerful than talking. Then he came to Bombay, and he was determined to get that land was given to Guru and Krishna. That land is meant for the deliverance of the conditioned souls who are suffering in this world. Krishna will not be cheated. Somehow or other, Prabhupada went to visit that man. You know the story. And Mr. Nair had some guru, his spiritual teacher, with him to protect him from Prabhupada's influence. So they offered prasad. And Prabhupada made, they ate and they ate. Prabhupada really made him eat a lot, I guess. And then they went to take rest afterward. And the guru was in one room, and Dr. Nair was in another room, and they were resting, and Prabhupada went right into his room and woke him up. And told him, sign this paper. And he signed it. So it was a good fight. Many forms of transcendental espionage were required. But now you look, Radharas Bihari.